Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's life-giving word. And for this hour, host of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. For the preponderance of our hour together, we will be joined by the Reverend Darren Umble of the Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg district of the city of Philadelphia. But before Pastor Umble and I share conversation, we draw upon Paul's letter to the Philippians, yet again the fourth chapter, yet again verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And the Apostle Paul was to draw upon the very language of the text, a most commendable and admirable man. He was a servant of the gospel par excellence, yet he was not always so. The very qualities that he brought to bear to the table, if you will, of service to the kingdom of God prior to his conversion were the very qualities that he was applying to the destruction of the church of Jesus Christ. He was an earnest, indomitable, and if I may say, apparently ruthless man in the pursuit of fulfilling his sense of calling. Pre-Christ as Saul, a destroyer of the church. After coming to Christ, in Christ, as not Saul now, but Paul, a lover of the church and one who has devoted the entirety of his life and all that was at his disposal to building her up. These are admirable qualities, the Spirit of God taking them and transposing them from the one to the other. And this same Paul, now a man of the utmost esteem, perhaps not easy to live with or to work with at times, especially in his earlier, less mature existence as an apostle. But as he grew, he became more warmly disposed, more loving, if we may, more admirable and commendable still. And this same man would encourage the people of God to fix their gaze and to set their sights and to attune the entirety of their lives to a litany of qualities that will carry them far, if you will. He is encouraging the people of God. Mind you, the people to whom he is speaking in the immediate, they are the believers at the church of Philippi. And the Philippian church was precious to Paul, drawing upon the same vocabulary. This church was a church replete with that which was admirable and that which was commendable and any and everything that is and was worthy of praise. He says of them to them that you are those whom I love and long for. You are my joy and my crown. Paul wants nothing more for this precious community of believers than the very best. But the best is defined by God and by Holy Scripture, not the best as defined by the world. Paul wants them to fix themselves upon what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, if I may, my very favorite, what is lovely. And for these next few moments, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, or if there is anything that is worthy of praise. These are qualities of affirmation. Paul affirming these qualities to the people he affirmed in the love of Jesus Christ. These are qualities of aspiration. Paul hoping and praying that as the Philippian believers fix their eyes and gaze upon these things, that they will more and more become themselves these things. And these are qualities that convey a desire for personal affiliation. You know, I have joined a couple of Facebook post groups, and one relates to one of my favorite authors from the 19th century of Britain. It's a privilege to be a part of this group of people. We read the same novels by a man named Anthony Trollope, a contemporary of Charles Dickens. It's a great privilege for me. But we have higher calling and higher yearning still. Anything that is worthy of this earth, praise God for it. But we are as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, or if you are giving thought to becoming a follower of Christ, we have higher, if you will, fish to fry. And our calling and our aspirations are greater still. And to be in affiliation with the people of God, or the kingdom of God more broadly and more deeply still, is an extraordinary thing. You know, I remember in the year 2004, as a born and bred Bostonian, my beloved Boston Red Sox won the World Series for the first time in 86 years. And I want you to know something of that team, very similar to the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl victory team of 2018. The Red Sox of 04 and the Eagles of 18, both teams had a very extensive aggregate of players who were self-avowed, very earnest and sincere followers of Jesus Christ. And so while they were honored to be a part of those victory teams during those victory seasons, they were honored to be part and parcel of something greater still. They were people of God, children of the Father, citizens of the kingdom and servants to the Christian gospel. And therefore their lives were meant to be and were given over to far more than mere athletic excellence. These were godly men and godly women who defied the norms and who applied themselves in the love of Christ. If I may, New England Patriots fan that I was and am, I was so touched by the fact that there were a number of players on the Eagles who one night against the San Diego Chargers invited one or two of the Chargers to one of their hotel rooms, wherein they baptized those players in the name of Jesus Christ. These men had fixed their sights upon higher things than merely a Super Bowl victory. They had fixed their sights upon what was eternally commendable, spiritually excellent, and worthy of praise, either in time or in eternity, either in this life or the next. What is it, I would ask, what are the qualities or values that you and I place value upon? Certainly an athlete wants to win. A student wants to, we trust, wants to learn, certainly wants to graduate. A driver wants to reach a destination. A doctor wants to heal his or her patient. A judge wishes to execute justice. And anything and everything else that pertains to their lives, no matter how pleasant or affable or the like, means nothing comparative to these ultimate realities. The call to win, the drive to graduate, the desire to reach your stated goal. What is it for the Christian? For myself, I will go on record. I'm a lover of books. I read history and literature and poetry, intellectual thought, biography and the like. I love books and have a rather extensive personal library, but I would give it all away. I would cast it all to the flames if it in any meaningful way obstructed my calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm an old movie buff. I wish that I could lay claim to being a classic film aficionado, but I am merely an old movie buff. I love the films of Bogie and of Cary Grant and of Ginger Rogers and the like, Doris Day. But again, if they got in the way of my high calling, they need to be swept away and flushed down the toilet. Because what the Christian must value more than anything else, the qualities that for him or her are of the utmost excellence or commendability or worthiness of praise, first and foremost, is that of a desire to honor and to love the Lord. We know that the greatest of the commandments, according to Jesus, no less, is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Praise God. This is what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord and to please him in every way. Number two, to be like Christ. The highest compliment that I can extend to anyone is to say that in you, I see the presence of Jesus Christ. I had that privilege with Mother Teresa 41 years ago at Boston's Logan International Airport. Of more recent vintage, Father Dennis Gill, the rector and priest of the Cathedral Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul here in the city of brotherly love. In these individuals, I encounter Christ. Whatever dogmatic differences we may have, without minimizing them, I encounter Christ. Number three, the nurture and welfare of his people. Paul certainly gave himself over to the welfare of the Philippians. I have every reason to believe that my dear guest, the Reverend Darren Umbel, does so on behalf of the fellowship at Mount Zion, as I trust that I do here in Conshohocken. And number four, to be an honorable and benevolent witness. Be mindful, please. Those of you who are Christians, those of you who are giving thought to becoming Christians, with every human being you meet, you are either encouraging and giving edification to a fellow believer, or you are bearing honorable and benevolent witness to one who needs to know the love of Christ, the Christ we trust you come to know, or in whom we trust you will grow by way of this broadcast. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey, returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is a great pleasure. This has been several months in the works to have on board with me today the Reverend Darren Umbel, who is the pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg district of Northeast Philadelphia. Pastor Umbel and I made an acquaintance several months back vis-a-vis the obtaining of scripture materials from the Philadelphia Bible Society, and I must say an affinity was set into play. So, Pastor, all the more am I delighted to have you with us today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor Lacey. It's such a blessing to be here, and we know God works all things together for good, so I'm grateful to be here today.
Well, he works it all to the good and even to the greater good still, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think nothing ever quite finalizes in that respect. It gets better and better and better, and your smile attests to that.
Amen.
Praise God. Pastor, I always like to start. It's a simple formula. It doesn't take a rocket scientist, but it does take a committed believer to understand, although anyone can attend. And we honor that and value that. Share with us, please, your story. How did you come to know Christ? How did you find yourself growing in Christ and finding yourself in Christian ministry? This is not a normative occupation. So either it was from God or we're crazy, but blessed. Share with us your story.
Thank you, Pastor Lacey. I grew up, as was already stated, in Northeast Philadelphia in the Holmesburg section. And it was a small community, very tight-knit, where it was a village where people looked out for one another. People were... they would let you know, even if you were doing something wrong, they would let your parents know that... Darren was down the street doing something, throwing stones, so the call would be placed before I even got back to my house. So
you never knew what it
is,
no, right?
Not at all. I just knew that by my father's expression when I walked in the door.
Yeah.
But I like to say I'm the second of three children born to John and Bertha Umbel, and it was a beautiful experience just being raised in a Christian home. I must say that they both loved the Lord. They both were dedicated to the fellowship of coming together as believers. Our church was actually diagonally, it was like a stone's throw away from our home. So we were right across the street from our church, Mount Zion Baptist Church of Holmesburg. And I went to Sunday school since as long as I can remember. I actually was brought into the church as a baby and, you know, carried in. And then there was a time when I wanted to go because I wasn't sent, because I wanted to go, and I felt that the Lord was just putting the love of His Word in my heart. And I had so many teachers in that small community church that were just, I think, just scholars, and just the way that they brought forth the message in the anecdotes and all through the teaching of God's Word every Sunday morning was beautiful. I was baptized at the age of 16 under the pastorate of R. Johnson Waller Sr. And he preached with boldness. He preached with just courage. And I just felt the conviction of the Lord of my sins, even at 16. And, you know, as a teenager, that we can get into many things. But I was so grateful to hear the Word. And it just really sparked a desire in my heart to repent of my sins and to say to the Father, I want this relationship to be right. I want a personal relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. And at the age of 16, I continued in Bible study. I continued attending worship and fellowshipping and ushering and serving in any capacity that I could. And when it came time for me to go off to college at the age of 18, I went to Slippery Rock University. And I would say when I went to Slippery Rock, it's near Pittsburgh, 50 miles east of Pittsburgh. And it's, you would say, a small town, and I'm a city guy. And when I got there, I was in for a big surprise. It was a lonely place for me at first, but God showed Himself true and faithful. He became my friend in a more deeper and intimate way, where I was not really a outgoing person in my early years, but He met me there. He walked with me to the cafeteria sometimes as I sat alone, but then I began to pray and ask God, why do you have me here? And little by little, He unfolded that journey for me. There were many who helped me to grow in the Lord, Bible study groups, and close friends that I even have to this very day. And
Pastor, if I may, at Slippery Rock, you're a city guy in a country town.
Yes.
You're out of your element, aren't you? And I have discovered in my Christian experience that when we find ourselves off-centered or out of our element, it forces us to rely more heavily upon the presence of our Father in our lives. So often we gravitate to the things that we like or the things that we want. And I'm not saying inherently there's anything wrong with that, but it's in those moments of vulnerability that we will more instinctively direct our gaze to the Lord. And He will always instinctively and conceptually reach back to us, won't He?
Yes, He will.
Oh, absolutely.
He definitely, He met me there, and He was my very present help in the time of, I believe, trouble, because I really wanted to leave that place, but the Lord's comforting Holy Spirit helped me to find peace, that there was a purpose for me being there, and He wanted to use me and direct my journey, putting me in contact with people who would be friends that I would lead to Christ, and who I would serve in ministry with, not thinking that, wow, God's plan is so great. My mind can't comprehend all that He has in store. But it was just a great opportunity to grow and draw closer to Him. I sung on the choir, the Slippery Rock University Gospel Choir, and we had an opportunity to travel the United States to sing and minister to various churches that were connected to those who were a part of the choir. And it was just a beautiful thing. That's one of my passions, singing for the Lord. And
Have you been up to the Brooklyn Tabernacle?
You know, I have not. But
splendid. Just, I mean, both Brooklyn and across the river, Times Square Church, there is such a joy. It's not that they're not talented singers, they obviously are, but they bring a joy of the Lord to their worship. That's what makes the difference. Predicated upon your smile, I strongly suspect that's true of you as well. You do say something, though, about wanting to get away from slippery rock and God keeping you there, or words to that effect. I recall when I was at Gordon College north of Boston, a wonderful place, and I was just up there a week ago as well visiting. But I wasn't happy. I wasn't internally, I had a lot of angst. And I always had this draw to Boston College. So I literally left Gordon to go to BC, but BC rejected me. And I was utterly indignant, let me tell you, and was forced to go back to Gordon. But you know something? It was God's will that I remain at Gordon, because upon my return, everything within me and around me began to turn around. And I found myself walking in the will of God, and like yourself, wonderful things happening. So to walk in the will of God, you must do that if you're to be a pastor, or God help us, you know. But Pastor Humble, we must take a break. We're going to come right back. You have a great deal more to say. Brad Lacey and Pastor Darren Humble of this Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg District. We will be back in a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey with Pastor Darren Humble, pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg District of the Northwestern, or forgive me, Eastern Quadrant of the city of Philadelphia. We've been sharing concerning Pastor Humble's story of faith. And Pastor Humble, you've been sharing with us of your development in ministry, but how did you become a pastor?
Well, Pastor Lacey, it was a interesting journey. When I had returned from Slippery Rock University, I was just on fire and I just wanted to be a part and really pour back into the church that had poured so much into me. And Reverend Waller had identified me one day, and he asked me to come and speak to him about becoming a walking deacon. So I walked and I grew closer, and the deacons really took me under their wing, and I really became, I would say, learned more of what a servant of God is, and I just wanted to serve him. That's all I wanted to do. I had a love for God's people, and that continued to build in me. And also, I had a love for God's word and sharing it, and especially encouraging those that were going through at the most critical times in their lives. So I was a deacon for 19 years at Mount Zion, and following that, I felt the call. As I continued to study and to grow, I felt the Holy Spirit moving me to another level of ministry and calling me out to preach His word. And in that, I was not, be honest with you, I was not obedient at first. I was running. I said, let me continue to stay in the place that I am. So, but you can't run from God. He will let you, he will close doors and he will open doors.
And so I may add, you'll find those comfortable niches can prove to be deadly if we stay there, you know?
Thank you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And with that to say, I had approached my pastor, my current pastor, Pastor Scott C. Dorsey, and let him know that the Lord was working on me, and he wanted me to preach His word, preach the gospel, the good news. And he said, well, let's, whatever you do, come boldly, and the Lord will bless you in your walk of faith, because we're walking by faith and not by sight. So it came an opportunity, and I said, Lord, I want to give you all, send me, here I am, Lord. And I was a minister, and I was licensed and ordained at the same church that I grew up in. What a blessing. And so it was just a blessing to see the community pray for me and lift me up and say, we want you to walk in the footsteps of the Lord, wherever He would have for you to go and whatever He will have for you to do. So I was just so comforted by the embrace of the body of Christ.
Well, that's important, if I may. When one receives a call from God, I was just sharing this conversation earlier today in our Bible class, but calling requires at least three things. Number one, you can't conceive of yourself doing anything else. Or if you can conceive it, it just doesn't sit right. Number two, you'll do anything and everything that is required and for as long as it takes. And number three, the body of believers, the church, must recognize your call. Your church recognized God's hand upon you. That's significant to the highest extreme. It tells me you're more than a handsome smile.
Oh, wow. Thank you. It's just a blessing. I think when people see your development and evolution in the Lord and how they're part of the journey with you, and that just makes it even the more confirming. I wanted to say also that when our former pastor left, was called to do another work for the Lord. Being a minister, his associate at the time, I was approached to step into the shoes of the interim. And I stepped into the interim shoes, and I was interim pastor at Mount Zion for almost 3 years. And then the call came for me to become the permanent pastor, or the pastor-elect of Mount Zion. And that was a rough decision, because I didn't want the people to just say, oh, because you have been here. But God showed me that the Holy Spirit is the one that calls and sets us in the places that we need to be. And it was just a great opportunity just to continue to serve and grow where I have been planted.
Well, there's a very significant truth. I meet a lot of pastors, and this is not meant to be derisive of them, but they have their agendas for their churches, and they get frustrated, failing to realize that while they want something of their people, God wants everything of them. And so they'll move on to the next place thinking it will be better. You speak of growing where you're being planted. My wife's phrase would be bloom where you're planted. It's the same thing, right? Absolutely. Beautiful. Twice I wanted to leave Conchi. Twice I want out of here. God would not give me the green light on either occasion, and thank God he did not, because on the other end of the disruptions, and I learned my lessons of whatever was playing out, things became beautiful, they became fruitful, things began to blossom. So yeah, you bloom where you're planted, pure and simple.
Amen. I definitely agree with that. And the interesting thing, as I was, we have all been impacted by the pandemic. And during this time, which was one of the most difficult times I can imagine for pastors, that it was just that adversity, all the tests, the trials that I went through during that time, that the Lord was working in me greater appreciation for relying on him. Because we continued in ministry, we transferred from being not using social media at all, but moving to using Zoom, to continuing in our Bible studies, continuing the preach word going forth, and our congregation there's a great deal, over half that are seniors, but the willingness, just seeing them grow and receive that the word through the electronic or the airwaves was such a blessing to see the growth. And I was like, wow, for such a time as this. And it really was a wonderful experience, and we're still growing in that way and ministering to the community, because we know it's a rough season for many people.
Well, I know what God taught me at the very onset of the pandemic, not that we weren't to take it seriously, not that we weren't to set into place whatever was appropriate, you know, for protection and for proper protocol and the like, and each church would be different, no doubt. But what I very clearly discerned from the Lord at the very onset was, number one, do not be afraid, and number two, do not allow this to obstruct the calling that I've placed upon you to put forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing that Satan would have loved more than for that pandemic. It may have crushed the economy. It may have helped contribute to distress on the streets, but he would have loved it still more if it had obstructed the advance of the kingdom of God. So that's what he taught me in that. And I was able, by his grace, to take those two lessons to immediate heart. And our church has known the benefit of that. And I trust the community and those around us as well. You know, one thing, I'm going to ask you in the next segment, what is it about your church, Mount Zion Baptist, that you love the most? I can tell you for my church, by way of her character, there's a resiliency. We're very small. We have no material resources to speak of. But it's a resilient and loving group. And we trust in the Lord for what we need. And we understand that He meets our needs so that we can carry on with our calling. And right now, a tiny little church of 25 people with no resources is in large measure responsible for both the publishing and distribution of the Word on the one hand, aka the Philadelphia Bible Society, on the other, the broadcasting of the Word, aka this wonderful opportunity with Talk Radio 1210. And to have men of your caliber, men and women of your caliber, is a consummate blessing to us. But I want to hear more from you. What is it about your church that you love the most and would like for this audience to hear? Because you might just get a visitor or two on the other end, as God allows. That would be a joy, wouldn't it? But yes, look, we're going to shift gears here. I owe Frank a few seconds. This is Brad Lacey with Pastor Darren Umble of the Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg District of the Northeastern Quadrant of the City of Brotherly Love. We return for one final round in just a moment. Thank you. Brad Lacey with Pastor Darren Umble of the Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg sector of Philadelphia, back for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Pastor Umble, let's hear it. What is it about your church that you love so much that you would love for us to visit?
Well, I must say that although we are a relatively small church, you will not find another church with the love that is expressed when you enter the door. When you come through, the ushers are there, to very attentive and loving and kind. And when you get in, you have someone pre-pandemic giving you a hug or a kiss. But now that we're going through this, you know, a virtual hug and a good hearty wave and a hallelujah, we're glad you're here. So one thing I can say is that it's a loving church, it's a giving church, and it's a church that is concerned about the community. We have annually a community day celebration on our parking lot, and what blessing. We sometimes, when we go through different hardships and hard times, we don't realize what we have, and we ask for more. But the Lord, just like He told Moses, what do you have in your hand? We have a parking lot where we have had services during the pandemic right there on the parking lot, and our neighbors and friends walking up and down the street would pause and take the time and even come on the parking lot with us and enjoy worship, enjoy concerts that we have, Jazz Vespers.
Vespers, I love
yes.
it. I love it.
It's so we are really trying to reach out even the more to our Holmesburg community. It's changing. You could ask many of our those who have been seasoned saints who have been there for many, many years in our small Holmesburg community. But they see the change, but they also are realizing the need for outreach, the need for not just keeping the love inside the four walls, but extending that love out into the community and with the prayer walks. We take prayer walks usually on Friday evenings, and we go around the community asking if anyone needs prayer. We pray for things that we see that we wish God would move on, and that He would bless, and that He would encourage, and He would deliver those that are going through. So I would say, as a whole, the love of the church for God's people, the love of the church for the lost, and that we are actually going through a rebooting our evangelism program and ministry, and we have an author coming this evening on our Zoom platform, sharing with us just the importance of evangelism, and that it is our responsibility, our duty, as per the Great Commission, it's not something that we can pass on and say, no, not today, I'm not going to do it. No, we always have to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us.
Well, it goes, you know, I mentioned this in my homily towards the very end. I do believe, and everyone is different. Our personalities are different. Some are going to be a bit more cut to the chase. Others want to develop and build rapport. But I do believe that with every human being you meet, and you always have to communicate or convey respect for who they are. You don't even have to agree with what they're doing, but there's the respect of their personhood, and you trust that they've received from us a sense of warmth and the like. But with that in mind, if the person is a follower of Christ, your job till the day you die is to be an encouragement to him or her in Christ. If that person is not a believer, your job till the day you breathe your last breath is to be an honorable and benevolent witness to them. Now, it doesn't mean we're shoving black Bibles down their throats, you know, or forcing them to read red letter editions of the King James. It doesn't mean any of that. But in some meaningful way, we are communicating both the beauty of Christ and their need for him. And it all finds climax in how he's affecting us.
Amen. And we said, the Lord said we should let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven.
And you know what? I like that. That's a great one and a compliment from Philippians 2, that we are to shine like, and I'm drawing from the NIV now, we are to shine like stars in the universe as we hold forth the word of life, not grumbling or complaining, as we live and shine forth amidst this corrupt and increasingly depraved generation. And that's exactly where we find ourselves today.
Yes, indeed. And I want to make sure that I mention just the blessing that the Philadelphia Bible Society has been to our church. I said, I have a track right here. Well, those who can't see me.
Our dear friend on the other end, I don't know if he wants me to speak his name, but he's going to slip you an extra buck for this, all right?
fantastic. We'll put it in the offering plate. But I just want to say that Philadelphia Bible Society has been such a blessing to us. Our evangelism ministry, our outreach ministry have used these tracks for, oh my goodness, it has to be over 10 years now since we made our first connection. And we haven't stopped, and we just want to continue to support the work of the Philadelphia Bible Society because the Word of God.
You and I will be talking further about this, but I want you to know, and this is a source of great privilege for me to share, and I believe it brings joy to the kingdom of God. But over the summer, between the beginning of June and the end of September, now, mind you, the pandemic, to say that it shut us down last year would not be correct, but things got very quiet. But over the course of these summer months, we were given the privilege of putting forth, through men and women like yourself and your churches, 25,000 booklets and leaflets that speak the word of God. And fantastic. Peggy and I, we were just up in New England celebrating. I'm a born and bred Bostonian, so what better place to celebrate one's 25th wedding anniversary than New England? So we were in Maine and on Cape Cod, and I was able to deliver a parcel of scripture books to a small church in this beautiful, scenic, idyllic little harbor north of Portland. It's upwards of 1,000 books that are going to go to a food bank that distributes far and wide, and they want to share the food for the soul, not simply food for the body. And then a little tiny church in Wellfleet, which is old Cape Cod, Patty Page style Cape Cod, and another parcel for them. And as it turns out, much of that will go to the ministry at Walpole State Prison, north of the Cape. So it's been a very productive season for us, and you've been integral to making that happen.
I just wanted to finally to share one last thing, is that we have a former disciple of our church. She goes to another church now, but we remain in contact. And she's originally from the Dominican Republic. And every time she goes back, she says, could you please reach out to Philadelphia Bible Society and get the Spanish tracts so that she may distribute and minister as she goes during her each and every vacation to check up on her parents.
Oh,
and that
God.
Has been consistent through the years.
Praise
and I thank
God.
You for offering.
Pastor Humble, I have every reason to believe and predicated in part upon a conversation that we had a while back that Mount Zion Baptist and Pastor Darren Humble are going to be more integrally involved with us. It'll be a shared work. You know, when my wife and I met you and your wife, we both felt an immediate affinity with you. And I'm just so pleased that this broadcast has finally happened, and we'll see where God takes further things. Any last word that you'd like to share? We've got about 10 seconds.
Well, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity, Pastor Lacey, and please give your regards to your lovely wife, Joyce, and I. Give our regards to her.
Thank I will so gladly, much. And you and I give the regards of Christ
yes.
and his love to this audience. Praise the Lord. Brad Lacey and Pastor Darren Humble of Mount Zion Baptist Church in the Holmesburg District, we bid you God's every gracious blessing. Take care.